This is Angelo. I'm 17 years old and live in Beachview.
I'm Janyla and I'm 12 years old and I live in Pittsburgh.
This is Anna. I'm 17 years old and I live in Murrysville.
This is Rocco. I'm 13 years old and live in Southside. And this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
Our brand new Kidsburg podcast is off and running, and we are thrilled to bring you this podcast designed for kids, parents, grandparents, and caregivers.
This has been so much fun, and I'm excited about today's segments.
I love being here.
Well, this podcast is part of Kidsburg.org, which is a website based in Pittsburgh with resources on the places, people, and ideas that are making Pittsburgh one of the most kid-friendly places. So first off, let me introduce myself. I'm Christine Sorensen. I'm a Kidsburg producer and KDKA anchor, and I'm here with my two other podcast hosts.
I'm Melissa Rayworth. I'm the editor of Kidsburg.org, and I'm also the mother of two boys who are 17 and 20.
And I'm Yu Ling Cheng, the director of Kidsburg, and the mom of two girls ages 10 and 12.
And I'm also a mom. I've got three kids, two girls and a boy, ages 19 to 13. And you know, I know all of us love Kidsburg because we actually use a lot of that information for our own families. Mm-hmm. And we've got so many great things to share with you in each podcast. In case you missed the first one, in each episode, we're going to take you to a Pittsburgh gem. And this week, it's Assemble, which is kind of like a makerspace on steroids.
And then you are going to be inspired by Sylvia Acevedo, who was a rocket scientist and later the CEO of Girl Scouts of the USA.
Sylvia is an incredible role model you and your kids will love to hear. And we wanted to ask teenagers in our regular segment we call Spilling the Tea with Teens, who is a role model you admire? So let's begin. This Pittsburgh gem is a place where kids can learn, grow, and feel empowered in so many ways. It's called Assemble, and it's in the Garfield neighborhood of Pittsburgh. It's like a dream world for a child who likes to make things. And I can definitely attest to that. I've taken my two girls there many times. Assemble calls himself a community space for arts and technology. It's a nonprofit in Garfield, and their mission is to have an approachable space and place for all learners who want to dive into STEAM activities. So for example, my kids and I went there, and we worked with an artist who specialized in marble painting.
Whoa.
And they came up with these two beautiful pieces, same materials, totally different. They still hang in my bedroom space to this day.
So they're putting paint on the marbles and the marbles are rolling around.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
It was so beautiful. And if you were older, they did different things with you to make it more challenging for your age group. What I also love about Assemble is they have a girls' maker night. So they have a safe space for girls in grades 4 through 9. They also have Saturday crafternoons for kids ages 5 to 11. You can just drop in. You don't know who the artist might be, but they will take you through the activity and they will mix in technology.
Oh, that's fantastic. I know we've mentioned that often in our event stories, and I think so many families are excited about that.
Well, I remember going once and we were told to bring a stuffed animal. So my kids each brought a stuffed animal that they maybe forgot they had, not their prized one. Because what you did is you cut it open and you took it apart. But then you sewed circuitry into it so it lit up, and then you sewed it back together.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. Wow. I can't imagine being a kid getting a chance to do that.
It's really fun. And they also have a ton of after-school programs for grades 1 through 9 where you learn STEAM. And the majority of these programs are free.
And I know a lot of these, you talked about going with your kids, but a lot of them with older kids, they can go on their own as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is truly an after-school community space for that neighborhood.
Oh, we're so lucky to have Assemble right here in our area. In fact, we're frequently highlighting the programming offered at Assemble in our weekly and monthly guides to events at kidsburg.org. And we've got the link to Assemble's website at kidsburg.org/podcast.
Pittsburgh is Kidsburg. You're listening to the Kidsburg Podcast.
From a rocket scientist to CEO of the Girl Scouts, Sylvia Acevedo is the epitome of inspiring. And from this talk with her, we learned she did this while beginning her life in poverty. Take a listen.
Hello, everyone. I'm so excited about our next interview. This is Yu Ling, and I'm here with Christine Sorensen from Kidsburg and KDK TV. Our next interview is with a woman who I look up to. Her name is Sylvia Acevedo, and she is an entrepreneur, an investor, a business leader, a rocket scientist. What I love about her is she's a devout believer in the power of transformation and that we can all do something to help improve lives in our communities as well as the world. She's also the author of Path to the Stars, My Journey from Girl Scout to Rocket Scientist. She has received awards from Forbes as America's Top 50 Women in Tech, 100 Most Creative People in Business from Fast Company, Meet the Women Who Are Changing the World, according to InStyle magazine, and receive the Hispanic Heritage Award from the Kennedy Center. So with that, Sylvia, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a real pleasure and honor to be speaking to you and your audience.
Great. So for our families and kids that are listening in, you know, at Kidsburg, we go to a lot of events, and we always ask kids, you know, what do you dream about becoming when you grow up? And we frequently hear rocket scientist. But you are a rocket scientist. So can you tell us, like, what is it like to be a rocket scientist and what does it actually mean?
I was so fortunate that, you know, I had been in Girl Scouts and I made a rocket to one of the things to earn my science badge. And at that young age, when I finally got my rocket to go up into the beautiful blue New Mexico sky, I thought, I can do this. So I had that confidence. But then I really studied what it took to become a rocket scientist. And you need to know science and math really well. And so I began to really apply myself in that. And I asked for extra homework from my teachers so that I could really be very, very good and excel at math. And sure enough, when I became a rocket scientist after I graduated from college, there is a lot of math involved in it. But, you know, it's really thinking and dreaming big because you're looking at the universe and you're trying to figure out not only how do you break Earth's gravity's grip, but how do you get your spacecraft to get near planets or asteroids or whatever it is that you're studying. So there's a lot of great science and a lot of great math, and it really is an exciting experience.
Well, in addition to being a rocket scientist, you are also were the CEO of Girl Scouts of the entire USA and started as a Girl Scout yourself. And I know in your book, Path to the Stars, you really share that journey of being a Girl Scout as a child and as myself, a Girl Scout as a child. My daughter was a Girl Scout as well. And we all learned so much. Well, I want to know what you learned and what lessons really you got from being a Girl Scout.
There were two things that changed my life forever. My family didn't have a lot of money, but my troop leader let me use my proceeds from cookie sales to pay for the activities I wanted to do in Girl Scouts. And I wanted to do everything. And so my troop leader helped me see that that meant I was going to have to sell a lot of boxes of cookies. And that seemed pretty overwhelming. And she taught me something. She taught me, how do you set a goal? And then how do you then go about achieving that goal? And so we had this big number. And she said, we're going to sell cookies for 6 weeks. So we divided that number by six. And then she said, you're probably going to sell cookies 6 days during those 6 weeks. And so then divided that number. And then it became a single digit number. And that was very achievable. And then she said, one of the most important things, when you get stuck, ask for help. And for me as a young child, that was like this aha moment, a breakthrough moment, because I realized that's how you make your dreams come true. You set a goal, you break it into smaller steps. When you get stuck, you ask for help. But the other thing she taught me that was so important is I came from primarily a monolingual Spanish-speaking household where kids really aren't supposed to talk to adults first. It's the adults that initiate the conversation. So that's a really tough way to sell cookies if you can't initiate a conversation. So she told me, you can't leave the side of a sale until you've heard no three times. And that also was so fundamental in changing my life because, you know, at first I sold to family and friends and no one says no, people at church. But then I was still very far away from my goal. So I realized I had to speak to strangers or neighbors I had never spoken to. And the first time that I did that to this neighbor, I'd seen her coming in and out of her station wagon, but I'd never spoken to her. I went up fairly optimistic. She was going to buy some cookies and she looked at me and she said no. And I remember just being stuck, but I remembered that was just my first no. So I asked, was there anybody else that wanted Girl Scout cookies at her house? Because I knew there were kids in there. And she said no again. And at that point, she's looking at me like, go away. But I stood there thinking about what my troop leader had said. And so I said, would there be anybody's day you would make? And she finally bought a box of cookies. And I go, yes. And so that was so important for me because it taught me the importance of persistence, resilience, And kind of how do you find common ground, right? How do you get someone to a yes? Thanks to Girl Scout, as that 7-year-old little girl, I began working those muscles of how do you create opportunity and how do you get to a yes? How do you find common ground, even though you might hear a lot of no's along the way?
I'm remembering exactly the same kind of scenario with my daughter, and we got the same thing. And then we realized if we asked, do you want to donate the cookies to the troops? It's very hard to say no to that.
Yeah.
And what a great lesson. What a great lesson.
Those are fantastic lessons. I'm going to start teaching those to my kids as well. So as the CEO of Girl Scouts of the USA, you introduced 146, I have to say that number again, 146 new STEM, outdoor, and entrepreneurship and civic badges and programs. And these are skills that are so important for our kids to have in this world. What advice do you have for kids in gaining these skills, and how do you gain these skills?
You're completely right. That was the most badges ever introduced in any short amount of time in Girl Scouts' entire history. And we did that because we saw that many girls had mobile devices in their hands, and that's how they communicated with friends. But we wanted them not just to be users of technology, but the creators and the inventors and the designers of technology and of their future. And so what I think is really important is when you're finding that you're just using something, be curious. How does it work? How does this affect me? How can I make a change? Really be involved in that. And I think that by asking those questions, it helps you be able to really live a life of your dreams. Because then along the way, you'll say, well, I really like this, or I get intrigued by how I'm able to design or program something. You know, that's why we introduced badges like robotics, cybersecurity. That was a real big hit because a lot of girls were very concerned about how do you protect yourself digitally. And so in my very first year that we had our cybersecurity badges out, over 180,000 of them were earned all over the U.S. in rural, urban, and suburban communities. So I think as kids, really think about what are the kinds of things that are you're interested in, you're curious. Ask yourself, you know, how does this work? How would I develop it if I was doing it? What changes would I make? Just start being curious about the world around you.
And I know, unfortunately, still there are a lot of girls who love STEM, but then starting around middle or high school, they start veering away from that for all kind of reasons. What can parents do to help keep that interest going in addition to with Girl Scouts?
You bring up a really great point. And so when you're in a mixed gender situation, I would always ask that you alternate questions so that you'd say, okay, we've got a question from a boy. Let's get a question from a girl. So that way you make sure that they see that there's an opportunity for them. But the other thing too, and that's what we had a great success at Girl Scouts, is that we reimagined the STEM curriculum around what girls were interested in. If you get someone interested in something, so then they've developed the confidence. And once you're interested and confident, then you become competent in it. And we did that, for example, with a partnership with General Motors, reimagining automotive vehicles. So instead of building a car and racing a car, which is usually how they teach kids to be interested, especially with young girls in elementary school, we would say, there's an injured pet on the side of a road. You've got to develop a way to transport that injured pet to get help. And all of a sudden, the girls are like, I'm really interested in that. I wasn't really interested in racing my friends, but boy, I want to make sure our dog, our cat, the stray animal gets the help that they need. And so really getting things that they're interested in, and then they get confident. It's like, I can do this. And then you build on the competency of that.
You know, it is so true. You have to make sure that the learning is relevant to kids today and that they can see themselves in that situation. And speaking of confidence, you know, when we speak with parents, they always tell us we mostly want to make sure our kids are confident and that they persevere no matter what the situation is. But I also hear a lot of times that we're all afraid of failing when we try new things. What is your advice on that?
One of the great things I learned in Girl Scouts was failure is first attempt in learning, F-A-I-L, first attempt in learning. And when you do that, then it changes it from your failure, but rather, how can I solve the problem? And I did that with my first rocket, my first Estes rocket. The first time it failed, the second time it failed, it didn't go up, the third time, the fourth time. But every time I said, okay, what's the problem? How can I solve for that? How can I make an improvement? And finally, the sixth time, it finally went up into the beautiful blue New Mexico sky. So those times actually helped me become a better engineer, you know, getting on my path to becoming an engineer, because it gave me the confidence I can solve this, and not interpreting it as it failed, but rather I'm learning something that didn't work, but let me try something else that worked. You know, so that iterative process was really a great way to learn. So if you can help your kid reframe it, now you become interested, and then you become confident, and then you build on the confidence.
Well, it might be even harder for parents, at least me, to not jump in and try and help your kid instead of letting them fail. What advice you have for parents on kind of when to step in and when to step back?
I think that is so important, because you are actually helping the kid, your child, get stronger, because they're building skills of resilience, persistence. So don't be just focused on the outcome. Realize that there's a lot of characteristics and skills that they're learning in addition to that outcome. They're doing problem solving. Perhaps they're bringing in other people to ask for questions. So collaboration, realizing that they're also learning about persistence, determination. Maybe they're going to have to do some research to figure that out. So just don't focus on the immediate outcome, but really look at this as an opportunity to learn, and learn in many ways, not just that one thing that they're doing.
Such good advice. You know, at Kidsburg, we want to be the best place to raise kids. And part of that is supporting kids in their dreams and futures and their hopes. So what advice do you have for us as parents and caregivers to help kids reach their potential?
As a caring adult, what's very important is to let your child know that there's a soft place to fall, right? That you're there, you're a caring adult, but also there to help them on the journey, but not to do the journey for them. And that you need to step back and let them take action themselves. And I know that's really tough for parents and for caring adults, but to really see your role as that support, maybe the cheerleader, but not the doer. Give that child that chance to develop those skills. You have those skills because somebody helped you but didn't do it for you. And so you need to also create that environment so the child develops the skills but feels confident.
Sylvia, thank you so much. We have pages of notes here of all these little nuggets of advice you've given us that are just so helpful and practical. Your book, Path to the Stars, is fantastic. Thank you for spending your time with us on the Kidsburg podcast.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you. I really appreciate this, and it was a lot of fun.
That was fantastic.
I really loved how she talked about fail is the first attempt in learning. And for me, I'm always nervous about doing something new with my kids, but I really need to embrace it as like, this is our first time doing it.
I love that. And what stuck with me was that when you get stuck, ask for help. And sometimes I think kids often are afraid to ask for help, but that opens worlds.
It does. And I think if they can see their parents doing that too, often we want to show them that, well, we're the parents. We've got everything all figured out. We can do it right. But I think if we ask for help or we're okay with failing forward, it's such a wonderful thing to model for them.
We have a link to Sylvia's book and how you can get involved in girlscouts@kidsburg.org/podcast.
You're listening to the Kidsburg podcast. Pittsburgh is Kidsburg.
It's hard to find a better role model than Sylvia. She is so inspiring. And I think a lot of us wonder when we look at our kids, who are their role models? We wanted to know who teenagers in Pittsburgh look up to. So we asked them, what do you look for in a role model? Who's a role model that you admire today? Students from SLB Radio's Youth Media Center helped us out by asking their fellow students.
What I look for in a role model is somebody who is me, but better. So people who are funny and they have that outgoing activity, like attitude and stuff, that's my role models. I wouldn't have a person to name, but I have people that I've seen that I'm like, I'm gonna take exactly what you're doing and do it.
I would say my mom, because she's super brave. She's been through a lot of stuff. And I think like seeing her go through stuff has taught me about how to deal with those situations.
I kind of look up to my brothers because they never tell me nothing wrong, like especially like they always check up on me. Anytime like I'm downtown Pittsburgh or anything like that, they make sure to call me and make sure I'm okay.
Something I look for in a role model is just someone that could fit maybe what I'm missing, in the sense of if I'm missing confidence or if I don't feel like I'm brave, and someone that shows that perseverance. So it's kind of like, hey, if they can do it, then I can do it. And that has a genuine spirit. Their heart is in the right direction, because you can't get a perfect person, but I feel like it's important to have a role model that's the right heart.
Wow, we covered a lot in this episode. And we've got even more amazing topics in our upcoming podcast, too.
We're posting a total of 6 episodes this spring, and we'll have even more in the fall. So make sure to subscribe so you're the first to know when the next one drops.
Just go to kidsburg.org/podcast for that. And be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter from Kidsburg with resources on the places, people, and ideas that are making Pittsburgh such a great place to raise a family.
This is Felix. I'm 14 years old, and I live in Allegheny Commons. And this is the Kidsburg Podcast.
On the next Kidsburg podcast, you can feel her smile in her voice. The founder of Beverly's Birthdays shows us how she found a need and met it and kept on going. Plus, we take you to a farm, a special farm you can visit with your family, and we spill the tea with teens, getting their thoughts on tracking apps like Life 360. Until then, we hope you'll visit kidsburg.org with the resources on the places, people, and ideas that can help you raise your kids. Subscribe to the free weekly Kidsburg newsletter online at kidsburg.org.